Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
That know it and you want to stand and sing it with us, it's okay. Church choir, you can stand right where you are. Song says,
I do. Oh, no, no, yes. I do.
Let's say that again.
I really do.
The world know you serve a faithful God.
Everybody say he's so faithful.
He's so faithful.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
When nobody else cared about you, he was there late in the midnight. Lord, I love you. Yes, I do love Jesus. I really do love him, my people. I do. Lord, I love him.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to Shine Lord Radio, right here on We Talk Radio. It's your girl B Ray holding it down. I got Big Joe, T Smelly, and Kia D all in the studio. What's up, y'all?
Hey. Y'all doing all right tonight?
We're doing lovely. We're doing lovely, lovely, lovely. So we're going to jump right on into this topic. It's a continuation of last week. The addiction and hurt, or the hurt of the addiction. There are thousands of addictions and more cases of addiction being noted here in recent weeks, months, due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And we want to just inform people, like, there are ways to get away from that, get around it. First and foremost is to pray about it, and once you pray about it and talk to God about it, leave it with him and let him work it out for you. That's the first and foremost. Then you also have therapists that are, you know, trained to help in those type of situations or whatever. So besides the physical abuse of the family members that we talked about last week, and the addiction of binge watching, eating, and all that stuff, what are some addictions that you guys think that are going on or that are more prevalent right now than it was before this pandemic started? Try to speak at once. Y'all thinking?
Yeah, you got us thinking on this one, right? I hear myself. Something's going on with my speaker. It's like one of those touchy subjects. I mean, it's still prevalent. Is it more abuses or addictions now because of the pandemic, or are they going full-fledged into it because of the stay-at-home?
That's a good question.
Of course, there's always drug addiction. And that's a touchy subject as well. Not necessarily a touchy subject, but I guess a hard one to deal with, because it hasn't stopped during this pandemic and during this crisis. Drug use is still high. I think one of the things of addiction, when you're battling it, is the wanting to be sober or wanting to be done with the addiction itself when you realize it's a problem. Am I here by myself? Kia D, did
no,
you run off with T-Smile?
I'm here.
No. We're here. We're listening.
I'm right here with you, bro. Right here with you, bro. Keep going.
It's a real hard subject, especially if you haven't faced that, or if you haven't conquered it, or if you you haven't been down that road, it's kind of hard for you to tell somebody, hey, get off it, or, you know, strap up your boot laces and get out of that hole you in. I think it's kind of hard if you haven't faced it. But I think drug use has been a big one. Yeah, that's pretty much
all
I can say about that one.
So while we were sitting here, we were talking. The question was like, what are some more addictions and stuff like that? I looked on the internet. I went to Google and I looked and searched up the top five addictions of internet addictions. Okay, so the first one, of course, is cyber sex addiction. You know, that includes all the adult websites, the sexual fantasies, the adult chat rooms, stuff like that. The next one would be the net component, which would be consist of like gambling, trading stock, online auctions, eBay. The next one would be cyber relationship addiction, online relationship addictions. And then you have compulsive information seeking, people that's just searching the web for information just they can have to talk about. And I think the last one was computer or gaming addictions. People get addicted to playing games online, you know, gaming, Bluetooth and different people online and playing games. That's in the top five of that right now. So. Just thought that might
okay.
be, you know.
Yeah, your list is similar to the list that I came up with. It's the number one would be coffee because it's an addictive substance, tobacco and nicotine, alcohol, sex addiction, illegal and prescription drugs, gambling, the internet and modern technology, video games, and what was the other one? Hold on. It was video games. And I lost it. Okay, well, that's at least eight, but it coincides with what you're saying. So, yeah, that we are now that we are at home doing absolutely nothing for those of us who lost jobs, even for those of us who are on the job, we're still finding ways to entertain ourselves or be over entertained by playing internet games, like you say, going to sites that you shouldn't be. To porn sites, looking up, trying to figure out, looking on WebMD, trying to figure out is this an addiction or not, and the drugs and the sex, and all that. But what can we do? The real question is, it's going on. What can we do to curb this addiction? Like, how?
Well, that's kind of hard, I believe, right?
Yeah, no, it's not hard at all, Joe. It's not hard at all.
We still at what, shelter in place?
We're still shelter in place, but
so I mean that's kind of a hard one because you where you could get out and entertain yourself, you really can't entertain yourself that way. Netflix and Hulu sales have probably went sky high. Because what else can you do but watch movies, play games on your phone? Talk to me. What can you do?
So there are so many other things that you can do, Big Joe, and I'm so glad that you said that. Because a lot of people are sitting at home right now listening like, Big Joe's so right, it's so hard. And I get it. You know, I'm a person who's had my own set of addictions. We'll talk about that here in a second. But at the end of the day, it's not hard. There are lots of things that you can do. One of the things that you can do is you can write a book. You can begin to write. Just write. Just journal. Not even write a book. Just journal. Just start writing. Just start. What do I write here, D? Well, what happened today? You may think, man, this day was so boring. Well, write about it. Sit down and write about it. That may be boring to you. I ain't got time to write. I don't want to write. Well, read. Encourage your mind. Find something to read instead of just watching a video or gaming. Switch it up. Like you. But the deal is that you actually have to want to do it. There are other things that you can do. Exercise. I guarantee you, if you take 20 minutes out of your day, 15 minutes out of your day to exercise, it changes the whole thought process. Everything changes for you. Start at the beginning of the other day and take a few minutes to exercise. I don't mean you got to pop in an exercise video. Not at all. Take jumping jacks. Do 20 jumping jacks. Do 20 sit-ups. Do 20 crunches. And repeat it 6 times. That's all I'm saying. Just start your day off different. I literally have some addictions that I've had to deal with my entire life. You said sex, but you didn't talk about masturbation. Like, people are truly addicted to masturbation. I remember that when I worked for a counseling center years ago, and I was a receptionist when I first started out in 1998. And I'll never forget, there was a young boy who called me. I have two incidents. There was a young boy who called me, and he was in the bathroom at his school. And he called me because, now he was calling me personally, he was calling the counseling center. But he had looked it up in the phone book, and he was wanting to get counseling for his addiction. And I was asking, okay, well, let's find out about your insurance. You know, it's through a mom and dad. Okay, well, how old are you? He was 16 years old. Okay. Well, can you talk to your parents so we can get, you know, that your insurance card? That's all you would need is your insurance card, and we can move from there. I can't tell my parents about my addiction. Okay, no problem. But I would like to talk to a counselor, like, right now, if I can talk to a counselor over the phone. Now, the deal is I can't technically put you through to a counselor over the phone. We got to set you up with an appointment. You see what I'm saying? And so I wasn't trying to get information from him, but at that point in time, I was curious. I'm 16 years old. You know, I wanted to know what his addiction was. Actually, I needed to know so that I could kind of place him with the right counselor even. So I kind of had to dig a little deeper. You know, okay, so what is the addiction? His addiction was he was addicted to masturbating. I was like, oh, okay, so let me try and, you know, I've got the perfect counselor I can get you with. But unfortunately, we have to have that insurance card and you can pay cash. Well, I don't have a job. I can't pay cash. Well, you know, I it was one of those things where I couldn't help him. But, you know, one of the things that he told me, he said, "Ma'am, I need help. You know, I keep leaving school, the classroom, and coming to the school bathroom and masturbating. I need help." At the end of the day, there was nothing I could do. I couldn't help him. I was 18 years old, 19 years old, and I didn't have the money to pay for his counseling, and I felt like, you know, I didn't know what to do. But I did talk to the counselor about the owner of the counseling center. I was like, "Listen, this is an incident that happened." You know, and she was like, "You know, we can't help everybody, especially if he doesn't have insurance and we can't, you know, get him here, you know, out payment." I was like, "I know, you know, I know." It was just one of those things. You know, had I worked for another counseling center, she might have told me, tell if he calls back in, tell him to come. You know, and I was hoping she would have said that, you know. There was another incident where I was working at the same counseling center, and this was actually probably about 3 months apart, these phone calls. And it was a young man who called me, and I'm not going to get too graphic into it. It's deep, and I can't deal with that. The thought process of that today, but basically, he was literally in the process of molesting a little girl, and you could hear the child in the background.
Oh, wow!
And talking about helpless, I was absolutely helpless, and he was telling me he needed counseling because he couldn't stop, you know, hurting children. And you could hear a little girl in the background. Where he had a little girl there right then and there. And all I could do, of course, was pray. You know, and I'm praying that whatever prayers that I pray were able to release him from that moment and release that little girl from his care. You know, so, but it's serious. People have true addictions, you know, that they can't, they have to try and fulfill. You know, it's a fulfillment that you have to, get. And guess what? When you go for it, when you go for it and you attain it, it's still no gratification in it. You gotta find a better, you know, so that's why masturbation is so, you know, with people who are addicted to it, they do it all the time because they're, you know, constantly going for that better one. Drug addicts, they're constantly looking for that better, that next high, that better high. I gotta get higher and higher and higher. You know, it is one of those things where we physically If you've never dealt with addiction of any kind, then you just don't know what I'm talking about. And God bless you. But please don't judge the next person that has happened to have something they are dealing with, because you really don't know why they're dealing with that. There's so many things in people's lives that have had that have put them in that position. So don't judge them, you know. But, you know, definitely pray for them and keep them encouraged, because there's all you never know when your moment could be. You know, some people develop addictions later on in life, but you have to keep your mind focused every single day. You got to train your mind every day to stay focused tight and right every single day. So,
Yup. All that is true. I also just looked up, there are addictions in kids include biting nails, biting their nails, as in nervousness. Anytime their nail grow past their nail bed, they want to bite it off. I guess they consider it too long or it's not cute or whatever. It didn't go into details. But the children addictions are biting nails, being on their cell phones, and taking selfies and trying to prove themselves to others. So, on that note, when we look on social media, what do we see? We see a bunch of teens, especially now, on social media making all types of videos. You can see their whole timeline is full of themselves mostly. They have some group pictures, but the majority of their pages are exactly selfies. So that's an addiction that the kids have that are shown in kids. What can we do to curb that addiction, like internet safety? What can we tell the kids about internet safety?
You know, T. Smiley has two young girls. T. Smiley, what would you tell your daughters about internet safety if you were going to talk to your daughter right now? And as a matter of fact, I know one of them has cell phones, so she has access to it. What would you tell them? What did you tell them?
As far as internet safety?
Yeah, staying safe on the internet. How do they stay safe on the internet?
Oh, well, I mean, consider them being young. The only thing I really tell them is, you know, don't be on the internet. Like, if they're on, I think if they're on YouTube, I think they have a kids YouTube or something like that, where they can only have access to a certain amount of things that's programmed on that phone. But if they try to go on regular YouTube, you know, I tell them not to, because it's a lot of things on there that, you know, that they can, you know, get a hold to and start looking at. So I just tell them, you know, if it's not kids YouTube, don't get on it. If it's the internet, you got to ask before you get on, you know. So
you have to actually program their account to be on kids YouTube, because they can easily switch over to just regular YouTube.
Right. These kids know a lot of stuff.
They do. Big Joe has kids that are a little bit older than T. Smiley's kids. Big Joe, how do you address the online situation with your kids? What did you tell them?
Again, it starts from the parenting side. You can program their phone to what they can and can't see. You can put a parental lock on it, and if they don't have the code, they can't see it. With the iPhones, you can practically see what your kid is watching. As far as YouTube, their YouTube channel is set up through my page. So anything that they see, I can see what they see just by looking at my YouTube and going to the list of what's been watched. So it's more of a observing, and then when the opportunity presents itself, because you have to still let them be kids. But at the same time, you have to inform them that this is out there. So you talk to them and you let them know what they can and can't get on. Then you have to have a listening ear. When you hear the wrong thing, something that you don't like, you can't shut them up and just not listen to what they're watching. Even though at times it can be irritating because they're watching kid stuff at times. So you just try to do the best that you can, but you give them the information and you make sure that you can watch what they watch, whether they watched it before you or after you, you know what I mean? You can still see it so that if you need to pull them to the side and say, hey, you're watching this and you don't need to be watching it, you have the access right there. A lot of times I don't let my kids watch YouTube. I would prefer them to watch Netflix. So, but at the same time, they have their phones. You're not going to always be there. So you make it to where you can manage what they can see. If nothing else, you can see what they can see. If your YouTube account is linked up with theirs, or if you give them the access to your YouTube account, then every single thing that they watch on YouTube, you can go and see what they watch. So it's a lot about observing.
Yeah, my son thought I was being very strict when I told him he couldn't have a cell phone for the longest. He's like, well, all the other kids, I'm like, I'm not all the other kids' mama. So we're not going to do what everybody else do. And when you get one, there'll be certain rules and regulations that's going to be followed, i.e. having a password to everything that you do. I actually have his email account on one of my phones, so I can see the type of emails that he's receiving, or if he decides to get on YouTube, I can see what kind of videos he's watching just by acting like I'm logging in on his account from my phone. He messed around and tried to sneak and create a Instagram page, I'm going to say about five or six years ago, and he didn't realize that Instagram sends you an email to say, please verify. And I guess he forgot that his email address is on my phone. And I immediately shut it down. He was like, why I can't get on Instagram? I said, because you're not supposed to have an Instagram. You're supposed to just be on here doing your work, talking, taking pictures, because he was really into photography at the time. So I said, you know, I got it for you to take pictures and stuff until we can upgrade to a camera and all this stuff. You know, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be on Instagram. You're not supposed to be on Facebook or anything. I did not allow him to get on Instagram until he got into high school. And same with Facebook. There's a Facebook Kids watch that I put his account under. And so, and there are other apps that I didn't know about. But once I found out it was on his phone, because like I say, mostly every app comes with a confirmation email. So he had a Snapchat account. I didn't tell him I knew about it. I created me a Snapchat account and put him in, you know, sent him a friend request. And once he accepted that friend request, I said, you're busted. You know, so you're not supposed to have this. We only read on this, this, and this. And so as he got older, you know, I've loosened some of the restrictions, but all of this was happening while he was not old enough to participate in this stuff, because the stuff that's online, is some of this content is not appropriate for kids. Even on the kids' YouTube channel, they get on there and they start talking about stuff the kids don't need to be talking about. So you just have to be very careful and vigilant what you let your kids, allow your kids to watch and do. And that will, you know, that will stop some of this addiction to the internet, or addiction to being probably a prey or, you know, a predator looking at them. And then they're going back and forth with them. They're giving out, you know, they're talking to them in a DM or whatever. So you just have to caution them as to everything that's going on. The next one, nail biting. That, or any nervous tick. I'm just going to say it like that. When that happens, what would you do? if your child has a nerve.
Nail biting. Nail biting. I grow nails now because of nail biting. I had an incident to where I bit so far into my nail to where I had a nice little infection and had to be cut open and squeezed and all that kind of good stuff, and that stopped my nail biting. So I don't know what causes it. Even when I did it, it wasn't like I was necessarily nervous. It was just like a habit.
And there was another one. I really didn't want to say it because I didn't want to gross people out. But they said nose picking boogers and cutting. Picking boogers and eating them.
That ain't now. Picking boogers
That's
is
an
not
addiction.
An addiction. That is not an addiction. That means you got a nasty nose and you just trying to get it clean.
But you eating? But you're eating your boogers.
Now that's nasty.
You're eating them.
That's
a nasty addiction.
Who eat boogers? Ew.
For real.
I'm telling
you. That's got to be a show for Wednesday. Kia.
No, that's
Kia
not
on
a joke.
Wednesday.
Okay.
Kia on Wednesday. You got to find somebody on Wednesday night. You got to. We want to interview.
You got it.
We want to interview on Wednesday. We got to find somebody.
You got
but, wow,
it.
Wow, I didn't know.
I don't know. That is a horrible addiction, a nasty addiction.
That's a nasty addiction.
And I don't really think there's a cure for it until, and I'm going to be real candid right now. I know this is a Sunday show, but for a person that picks their boogers and eat them, the only way I can see to make them stop is everybody pick some boogers, put them on a plate, and tell them to eat them. And I bet they'll stop.
That's pretty tasty.
Wow.
I got a visual.
I guess I'm just a sick-minded individual, but, I mean, who would do that?
You got to be very visual.
That's nasty.
I'm sorry. It just, you know, hey, sometimes you got to do some extreme things to. The last one is cutting. That goes for kids and adults. Cutting themselves. What can be done? Is that a nervous reason why you're cutting yourself? Or you just want attention? You know, what are you cutting yourself?
You know, I think cutting goes into some psychological issues because there are, you know, that level of pain that you're trying to attain, you know, when you're, or the blood that you want to see. Usually it's the pain, you know, that you're enforcing on yourself that you are. And it's not a sexual thing, cutting at all. It's definitely, I think, a psychological situation. But I'm not a cutter. I've never been a cutter, so unfortunately, I'm not an expert in that, and you know why, you know. But I, of course, I do know people that did, and you know,
I know a couple that did as well. A couple of people that did as well, and from what I can understand, from what they've told me, was they felt something on the inside, and they wanted it to be visual on the outside. A lot of them can tell you exactly what cut was for what reason and why they did it. And from the few that I've talked to, they knew exactly and could remember in detail the reason why they did it. So I think you're right. It's more of a psychological scream for attention. Not for attention, but for help. Not for attention, but for help. because a lot of them will do it in an area where you can't see it, or it can be hid. On the arms, to where they can wear shirts, long sleeve shirts and whatnot. But it's never a situation to kill themselves. It was just they wanted to feel the pain because of the internal pain, which is psychological, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we got to ask the expert on this, because I wanted to know if that correlated with them premeditating to cut someone, to stab someone else.
That's a good question.
You know, like, is that a precursor? You know, I'm going to cut myself to see what it feels like. I'm not going to do it too deep because I'm not trying to kill myself, but I want to hurt somebody else or inflict pain because they inflicted pain on me.
Now, that's, I will tell you this. Now, this is true. This is 100% true. When I was going through all of my addictions, and I had a lot of things that were going on, a lot of abuses that I had suffered a long time ago when I had these ideations, but I was suicidal and homicidal at one point in time in my life, from about 16 to 18, from about 16 to about 23. There were so many things that I couldn't, you know, aspects of my life I could not wrap my mind around. It was just really heavy. And so, you know, people with addictions do, some people, I'm not going to say all, do suffer from suicide and or homicidal ideation. And, you know, it's sad. It really is sad because some people actually, you know, walk into that light, you know. So I'm glad you're having this conversation today so we can actually talk about it.
I know, me personally speaking, every time when I first got diagnosed with my fibromyalgia and some other issues, you know, every time I would go to the hospital, they give me this questionnaire, do you feel this, 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 and this? And the only question that I would answer to is suicide. Before it's homicide, you know, hurting someone else, answer to yes. Do people irritate you? Yes. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do they irritate you? Maybe a 20, you know, it was just like at that point, I didn't know that my yes answers was a red flag to the doctors to say that I had an addiction or I had anger issues. And so doing all this, I was clinically diagnosed as severe depressed and mild anxiety doing all this. And so they put me on some medication. Well, after seeing that one particular doctor for X amount of years or whatever, they stopped the medication. And I noticed a change when I was not taking that particular medicine. I was more angry. I was more aggressive toward people, more, you know, having more homicidal thoughts versus actually doing it. But just the thoughts, like, okay, if this person says something to me, I might just snap, you know, type thing. And years later, I went back to another psychiatrist and I was telling him the same exact thing. You know, I hear voices. I have thoughts of hurting people, never hurting myself, but hurting people. And the reason why I feel this way is because I'm not taking the medicine that I used to take. You know, they had tried me on several different medicines first that just was not doing what it was supposed to do for depression and anxiety, you know, and the hallucinations and all that stuff. And so they finally put me back on the original medication, and I haven't been having those thoughts. I may just be not, you know, like in a, I don't care what you're talking about or what you do state. And I think that's better for me than not being on any medication at all. But then they're saying, okay, well, you can get addicted to this medicine. Well, I'd rather feel like I don't care about what's going on or I don't care what you're saying to me than to feel angry and aggressive all the time. So it's a choice. Do I want to stay on this drug and be so-called addicted to it or immune to it? Do I want to get off this drug and go back to my aggressive and aggressive and angry ways, you know? That's what most people facing or dealing with addiction is going through, is trying to determine, if I'm on medication for it, do I want to stop this medication and go back to my old ways? Do I want to give my body a break? What else can I do? And this last psychologist, she was like, you need to rotate the medications out. You can do it for like 6 months to a year, but no longer get on one particular medication, because your body is immune to it. And once you start taking it, those bad feelings or bad habits come back to you. And it's worse than it was while you was controlled on the medication. So my question is, what do you all feel about that?
You know what? Me personally, I can talk about it, because, you know, you're talking about all these addictions and like anxiety and all this stuff like that. Like, honestly, I got that. I got diagnosed with anxiety and depression, like, I would say about 2 years, 2.5 years ago, and they put me on this medicine, and you know, I was like snappy, you know what I'm saying? It was like, I get irritated, I couldn't be in a crowd, like, not when I say crowd, like, I couldn't go to the mall or like Walmart and stuff like that, because I would be so anxious and I would be so irritated with like so many, and I feel like I was getting closed in, like so many people, you know, around me and stuff like that. So, you know, for all I know it, I'm taking pills, but even with the pills would do, it would do so much to you. It takes so much out of you. I remember when I first took it, like, it took so much, like, it felt like I just got like drained of energy and I just wanted to sleep. And that was just like the first part of it. And then like the rest of it just turned into like, you know, you sit there and you'll sit in the dark, or like I was sitting in the dark, or I would sit there and think about, you know, suicidal thoughts and stuff like that. It got bad, like seriously, it got bad to the point where I did have to call and talk to somebody online, because it was like, it was too much. Like, that medicine did so much bad than good. I just took myself off of it. So,
did you have withdrawals when you took yourself off of it?
You know, at first I did, but I had to just kind of, I just step back. Like, I would have to, like, go somewhere and just kind of, like, sit down and take a deep breath and just kind of, like, just chill out for a little bit before I can even, you know, say, for instance, go back in the front room where everybody else was, or, you know, I would slowly go out, you know, and do stuff to kind of, like, you know, get myself back out there. But it was like, I would try to handle it without popping a pill every time, you know. So,
anybody?
Oh, awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I was diagnosed when I was 22 actually, with anxiety and depression. And the first time I took pills for my depression and anxiety, it literally felt like a heavy metal blanket. That's the only way I can describe it, was laying on top of me. And I remember taking the medicine, and my oldest daughter was there at the house, and I remember waking up, and I couldn't move, and my whole body, nothing could move. It was terrifying to me, because I was like, I felt like I wasn't in control of anything at that point. And I knew, I said, if I keep taking these pills, because it had just completely knocked me out. And I was up, but I couldn't move my body. I couldn't get up. It was like I wasn't paralyzed, but I couldn't move, you know. So after a while, the medicine kind of wore off, and I was able to get up. But I knew, I threw the pills in the trash. I said, ain't no way in the world. I can't even function. I can't go to work. And I had to find another way. I knew then. I was like, I got something else. Something's going to have to give. I got to help myself out of this, because the doctors, they can't help me. Not with this medicine. I can't ingest this stuff and be okay. So, yeah.
So what did you use? What did you use to help you when the medicines wasn't working, what did you use? How did you, you said you had to help yourself. What were some of the things that you did to help you battle your addiction or battle your depression or your anxiety? What were some of the things that you did to help you actually get over it?
Okay, so one of the things that I did was I had to change my routine because I was actually – I had to change the person I was around, meaning the person I was dating. I had to cut some things. You know, those attachments were bringing me down. So once I made that first move, things began to kind of change a little bit. Then, I, of course, daily, you know, again, having to make sure that I'm thinking the right thoughts, because it's all about what you think. It's about what you put into your mind. So immediately, this was another thing that I did. Immediately, when the thought of negativity, no matter what it is, that was literally trying to crush me, came into my mind, I would immediately tell myself, you got this, girl. You're better than that. That ain't you. This ain't you. You are amazing. I would literally have to tell myself to the point to where I felt like I was crazy because I was talking to myself. So I was another. Then there was another aspect. Oh, my gosh, I'm crazy because I'm talking to myself. No, 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 no. It took me like 10 years to realize that I was not. I'm going to take that back. It took 15 years to realize that I was not crazy because I was about 37. I was not crazy. But I kept encouraging
you. You were just motivating yourself.
Yes. I continued to do it no matter that. I did still feel like, you know, up until I was about 37 years old, I felt as if I was insane. And then I finally realized, girl, you done bumped yourself up all this time to where you have, now you feel it. Now this is you. It is implanted in you that you are great. And so it doesn't even matter who comes into my world to try and tell me otherwise. Oh, baby, please. That, what your thoughts are not my thoughts. Sorry that we don't agree on that. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. You can't tell me who I am. You can't tell me whose I am. But it took literally me driving that into myself and making myself feel like I'm important and I am special no matter what somebody tells me or does to me or says to me. Because I felt like I was loved a lot. For real, all the way around, by my mama, by my daddy, by a lot of people that were around me that I felt were supposed to love me, I just didn't feel that love. So I began to look for love other places, all the wrong places. Then, you know, then we got other addictions that come, you know. So there were a lot that, because that's another addiction that I had, looking for love in all the wrong places. Another addiction I had, control. Boy, that we could talk about, that's a whole other topic. I know B-Ray got to take back over the show. My bad, B-Ray. But listen, there are so many things that can happen. And these are not just things that everybody on here, I can tell you right now, I've dealt with sexual abuse. I believe that T. Smiley has not dealt with sexual abuse. And he spoke of having depression and anxiety issues. He did not have to deal with sexual abuse. So it is not just about sexual abuse or being abused. There are people in this world who just have things they're dealing with, and they don't know how to deal with them, and they're overwhelmed, and they need some help. And I'm going to tell you, there ain't no line you can stand in that's going to give it to you. You have to give it to yourself every single day. And that's how I made it through. I didn't learn about exercising until later on, but exercising is a great thing. You know, it really helped. It really helped me, you know. Exercise is great.
Wow.
Well, sometimes I know this is Sunday Shine Lord Radio, and she was saying all that, and all I got out of that was the song, Sometimes You Have to Encourage Yourself.
Right.
You have to speak over yourself, because if you try to find it in somebody else, they're not going to give it to you. And so, you know, you have to, like she said, sometimes you have to, like, to get over something, you have to speak over yourself. So, yeah, just encourage yourself.
I was just about to say that great minds think alike.
You got to love yourself.
I can,
Go ahead, Big Joe.
You gotta encourage yourself, and then you gotta love yourself. Or you gotta love yourself, and then you gotta encourage yourself. The main two messages I got was, you gotta encourage yourself, because there are times in life when nobody's gonna tell you you did a good job, but you gotta know that you did the best that you could.
Yep, right.
Even David said that he had to encourage himself at times. There are times when you have to encourage yourself, whether you've done a good job or whether you need to do a good job. That's why I said motivate. You gotta want it. You gotta love yourself. And you said about looking for love in all the wrong places because you haven't yet loved yourself at the time.
Right.
You were looking for someone to fill a void that you should have been already filled.
Mm-hmm.
The best
the
way
crazy thing is, and the crazy thing is, it's hard for me to explain, you know, what I needed. Like, I didn't, even at that age, did not know how to articulate what I needed.
Exactly. Because,
which is
again,
even more painful.
Such a, we are all still developing. I mean, nobody is there yet. Nobody is perfect. So, there are times when we go through things when it's just hard to explain what we feel. But through it all, God.
And I thank God daily for saving my life from some of the medications that I've been on or some of my, my issues or whatever. I thank him daily for the relief because he saw something in me. He thought I was worth saving. He thought, he knew that I had something better to do. And I'm grateful to Kia D for giving me the opportunity to do what I was destined to do, which is the radio thing again, being in the entertainment industry again. I thought, he wanted me to be in the medical field, but God saw otherwise. He was like, no, you need to get back in entertainment. That's where your destiny is. And so, with that being said, I've gotten a lot of the stuff that the doctors have prescribed. And I do pray daily. I do meditate just on when I feel like I'm going through something, I sit down and meditate on it, or I write about it, journal about it. And then my other way of releasing the anger is by spreading laughter, which may sound crazy, but that's the only way I found to cope without having to take medication all the time. It's to find something and make it funny. And with that being said, we're running out of time. So I would like to ask Joe if he would pray us out. And this has been a good week, and I hope you all enjoyed it today.
It was good.
Woo-hoo! Real quick, also prayer got me through. I forgot to talk about prayer. Prayer saved my life and gospel music. Gospel music saved my life too, real talk.
Yeah.
Shout out to John P. Key and Yolanda Adams. Their first two CDs I had on repeat, no joke. Saved my life.
Already.
Come on, Big Joe.
Oh, I think he had to go back to our bag. Peace, Smiley. But you go ahead and pray us out.
I'm sorry. I'm right here.
Oh, I thought
I was praying on mute.
Oh, Lord.
I was praying on mute.
You got to throw it all over. You're going to have to throw it all over.
Heavenly Father, we come in the most humblest way we know how, Lord, saying thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this topic, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the panelists. Thank you for the host. Thank you for the owner. Thank you for everything, Heavenly Father, for being able to bring this out in the open, Heavenly Father, and to bring a way out, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done. Heavenly Father, we just ask right now that you bless everyone under the sound of my weak voice, Heavenly Father. We just ask that you bless right now the way you see it. Whether it's healing, whether it's financial, whether it's any way you see fit, bless right now. Heavenly Father, someone is reaching out to you, someone who don't know you the way we do. Heavenly Father, we ask that you come into their life right now. Heavenly Father, give them the words to say. Give them the way back to you. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. For anyone that is listening that do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, repeat these words after me. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. Lord, I want to know you. I believe in your Son. I believe that your Son died for my sin. I believe that he rose on the third day with all power in his hand. Heavenly Father, your words say, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we shall be saved. Forgive us right now of any sin. Let us hear your voice say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Check us out in the morning for the morning grind with Kijana Owens. And tomorrow night with Kia D Unplugged right here on Talk Radio. And y'all have a blessed night.
WeTalkRadio.com. Follow us on all social media. Good night. Woo-woo.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.